part, good content necessary. We went over that in 1 Timothy. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Good. We're in. Go Columbia.
I just saw you
share. Yeah. Hecho Colombia. Vamos Colombia. You know, I love God. I'm here, but I would be watching the World Cup right now. But amen. Well, I am going to watch it later. Okay, so, but one of the most important things that we should not forget, it's not just about knowledge, it's not just about teaching, but it's the doctrine, right, that conforms to the gospel. That's like the biggest thing. So remember that, because it's doctrine is doctrine, sound doctrine will conform to the gospel. Okay, just really quickly, so here's some of the fruit that we talked about, right? We got fruit of sound doctrine over there, fruit of false teaching. This is straight from Timothy. You know, obviously these are not things we want to see, right? No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. Right, over there, yes, yes, yes. We love this. We want this. Yep. But sometimes not so clear. You know, it's not so clear how to get that, yeah. Right? It's not obvious. So we have to, like, somehow, you know, discover that through some teaching, some practice, some understanding, and then seeing it in someone's life, seeing it in our life. But this is the goal, right? Not this. We don't want division, controversy, any of this stuff. Okay, so next thing we have, sound worship. Now, worship is more than just singing, though we just worshiped. It's really more a responding to God with reverence, humility, and love. It's our conduct. It's how we react to God's love for us. And then not only that, but it's how we reflect God's character to one another towards the lost. And essentially, it also does not distract. And I just want to encourage you guys all. Yesterday, I was talking to John today. I was so encouraged with yesterday's Bible talk. I felt like we had some visitors. Did you feel welcomed yesterday?
Yes.
Yes, man. And we had some visitors, and I was just so amazed to see everybody be so welcome, so loving, you know, connecting. You know, the lesson was great. The connections were great. The food was great. Everything was so good. And I feel like that right there was worship. You know, we were reflecting God's love in that moment, you know, with each other and with God. And that was beautiful. But, you know, we don't want anything to distract that. Okay. We don't want anything to distract. And a lot of things could distract. So our worship should not be distracting. Okay. Next thing is leadership. We talked about leadership, right? Jesus is the head of the church. We know that, right? And John did a really nice lesson previously with the men about how Jesus was a perfect example of leadership. He is sound leadership, essentially. Okay, but we did talk about, hey, discipleship is leadership. Okay, discipleship is leadership. I mean, essentially being a disciple, engaging as a disciple with each other and helping each other get to heaven is leadership, right? Leadership is also an influence. So just by the fact of us influencing each other in different ways, we're, you know, engaging in that leadership. So it doesn't happen because you have a title, right? It doesn't happen because you have a position or a role. It happens at home, right? It just happens right at home, in private, in the little things. So, you know, be responsible for the little things that you do have. And if you do have more responsibility, be responsible with that, right? All right, so we talked about sound leadership, right? Okay, so here's some of the fruits, just to remind you, fruits of sound leadership. These are the things you'll see, and one of the things you'll notice is all these things right here is all character, right? It's all character traits, right? And the one thing here that's really a skill is able to teach. Now, the reason why these are, I mean, you can kind of, we'll talk about that today, that you can practice these, you can train these, we'll talk about that. But you can't go to class for integrity. You know, you can't go to a class at UC Merced and learn, you know, integrity. You can practice integrity there, right? But you can't, there's no really class. There's no class on maturity. There's no class on gentleness, right? You can't, gentleness 101. I mean, you know, you can't find that. But here's the thing. With God, you will. You will definitely have opportunity to grow in these areas, and we'll talk about that. Character before competency. Character is most important, right? That's really what Paul is looking for. But it doesn't mean that you are not incompetent. Character will lead to that. But it starts with your character. Okay, and then last thing, just to kind of bring it all together, is we should all aspire to be the kind of people God can trust with the care of His church, right? Even if it's one person, right? And I'll kind of fast forward this one. Sound leadership protects these things. But the really why I wanted to keep this slide is because sound leadership helps model sound living. And that's really the key for today, is what is sound living, right? We're going to explore that in a second. And, of course, you guys remember this one, right? No false teaching. We want sound doctrine, sound worship, sound leadership, and sound living. So let's go ahead and pray. Can I get somebody to volunteer to pray today? before we really get into this lesson. Jaime?
Right.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us together today. We're so encouraged and hopeful for this week and this lesson. We're always wanting to learn more about your word, and having a great teacher here with us can really allow us to understand more and to really understand what you want from us and what we need to do to have these.
Amen. Thank you, bro. All right, let's go around the room and let's share your name and a secret talent or skill that you have, and maybe some of us may not know. A secret or a hidden talent. Who wants to go first? Oh, Hanai?
My name is Hanai, and a secret talent is that whenever I get hiccups, wait, a fun fact about it is that if I get it once, I'm going to get it more than once in throughout the day. But when I get hiccups, I can stop it whenever I can.
Oh, wow.
Whenever I want.
Oh, wow. You have total control of your hiccups.
That's crazy. I wish that had that. No. That's
a super nice job. All right, so let's start from here. Jan, would you like to go next?
Sure, I guess so. I'm Jan Oaks, and it's really secret, but I take good pictures.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a secret.
Okay, okay. Tim, why don't we go over there, and we'll go this way. Yeah, so we're gonna do the back row. Oh, okay, fine.
I gotta think real hard about this.
Okay, Jaime, go ahead, bro. Okay.
Yeah, so humble.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm Alvin.
Yeah.
And I will say that actually know how to dance.
What? Yeah.
Okay. I was just gonna say something about that. Okay.
So that's like more of a talent that I had since I was in like high school, and everybody used to always want to come battle me because you're in high school. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, I won a lot of dance battles.
Oh. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Friday for the Just Dance. That's what that picture was about, John.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're dancing.
Thank you, Alvin.
Yes.
Yeah, God, it's just some dance moves sometimes.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Oh, so my name is Aaron. I guess everything.
What's up, bro?
I guess everything is. I mean, you guys don't really know me. So, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, everything.
Any secret.
I mean, a secret talent?
Or just, yeah.
I guess it's, I play the piano. I mean, outwardly, I play the guitar because I play for worship. Mm. And, like, I do play piano as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay.
Do you have a guitar?
Do you have a guitar? I do have a guitar, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
That's great, man. Okay.
That'd be cool. Mike.
Yeah.
And a secret or a hidden golf.
That's not a secret.
That's not hidden.
It's definitely not hidden.
I'm just kidding.
That's not hidden.
Wow. I don't see myself having much talent. So
oh, really? You got... Yeah. Come on.
You can sing. You can
be a teacher. How about as a teacher?
That's a big talent.
Well, most of us don't.
I don't know that.
All right. You're a coach. I like that.
Okay.
That was a hidden talent.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I used to coach.
All right. What sport?
I did some baseball, soccer, golf, of course.
Okay.
What else? Helped out with volleyball.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all middle school stuff.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Soccer was JV.
Yeah. Okay. So. All right. I'll thank you, Mike. Yes. I'll go last. John, you want to go next?
Oh, John, juggling.
Juggling,
oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's secret, but sure.
I can juggle knives.
Yeah.
See that?
Oh. But can you swallow knives?
Yeah.
He may not. He's banned.
Who's going to stop me?
Oh, my goodness.
I love John. I love my
Yes. I've seen him juggle.
That's good.
He's not only juggling knives,
and also catching rattlesnakes. That's another.
Rattlesnakes? Oh, I don't know. I'm good. I don't even know how to do that.
You can catch them with your bare hands.
You're taking too long.
Yeah, all good, all good.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. Hi, my name is Tim, or Timothy.
Hello.
And I'd say a hidden secret talent that I have is I can play brass instruments.
What?
Like trumpet or trombone.
What?
Okay, we got a band forming here.
We got a band.
I'm a little rusty. It's been like a hot minute.
Well, that's your time.
I have the.
Nice. Yeah.
I have the skill necessary to sound from a brass.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. And last one over there.
My name's Zane. I don't know if you know this. My household knows this, but I'm pretty good at whistling.
Oh. Okay, come on. You have to do a little whistling. Wow, dude! That is good. You do have that skill. Yeah. I could have closed my eyes and pictured a bird in Cinderella. You know? That was good. That was really neat, man. Yeah, so.
That doesn't know about my son. He's a great artist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's very art. Yeah, he's got an incline to the art. Yeah, creative man. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, so for me, as, you know, Oscar, of course, you know, I like to, you know, like, my man Alvin here, dancing, I can do salsa, merengue, I can do, the two-step, I can do, crip walk, I can do a little break dance, I can do some things, so we might need a dance battle over here. We might have to do a little dance battle, bro. Maybe. We'll see, bro.
You know, I did ballet.
You did? Whoa. Oh, you're another level, bro. You're another level. Amen.
That's a hidden talent.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, that's okay. Ballet's another level. I've never done that. Yeah, it's amazing. Now, you know, the reason why I bring that question up is because all these talents, I'm sure, you didn't have it overnight, did you?
No.
Did it all take a little bit of practice, a little bit of, intention, a little bit of, like, time commitment, right? So we all have all our talents, we all have some gifts, but really, you know, it takes some intentionality. So I want to kind of use that as a jumping, point for our definition of what sound living is. And I figured a working definition for us would kind of be the intentional pursuit of godliness. Would you guys agree with that, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so today where sound living is going to be the intentional pursuit of godliness. Right? And the reason why, you know, it's intentional because it just doesn't happen on accident. And that's the one of the main takeaways I want you to know today is sound living, aka godliness, is not accidental, right? It just doesn't happen just by you walking and talking, right? It has some intention. There needs to be some intention. You don't become godly on accident, okay? Or have godliness on accident. So, that's really important for us to remember, and I hope that you can see that as we read through the scriptures today. So, with that being said, this is the question that I want us to answer today. You don't have to answer it now, but just like kind of have it in your head. What does an intentionally godly life look like? Right? Because that's really what sound living is. Right? If you can remember all the other doctrine, the worship, the even leadership even more clearly, you know, that's kind of what it's all in there, right? It's this godliness that exists, right? And we can see it, and there's fruits of it, right? So that we're going to look into this. But before we know what it looks like, we have to know what godliness is not, okay? Now, there's some obvious things, obvious things that are not godly. And I know a lot of us here know, you know, majority of the sins list and can understand, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, all these different things, right? Adultery, whatnot, you know, all those things we know. But let's just say, let's put that in the obvious section. Okay, we're going to focus on something maybe not so obvious. So what is godliness is not? So can I have a volunteer today to read 1 Timothy? And you know what? Give me 1 second because I actually want to read it. And the reason I don't put the scriptures up there is because I want you to read it from the book, from the Bible. So, yeah, you can read it. You can read it, but just let me get my Bible ready to go. It should be there anyway. All right. Okay. So let's go ahead and read. We're going to be pretty much in chapter 4 today. So let's go ahead and read verse 4 through 5. And Alvin, go ahead and start. 1 through 5. Yeah, thank you.
The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience.
Yep.
Have been snared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing, reading that. So, anything stands out to you here? Anybody just, yeah. What, yeah. Same?
Right off the bat, so some will abandon the faith. So without faith, you cannot be godly.
Yeah. Yep, without faith you cannot be godly. You faith is a requirement, for sure. Anything else? And there's a lot here, honestly. So I just want to see what the Spirit kind of brings up. But I do have a point that I want to get to. But I just want to see what you guys find. Yeah, John?
Verse 1, apparently they were listening to these false teachers that Paul's talking about.
Yeah.
They're following deceiving spirits, things caused by demons. I'm pretty sure, and such teachings come from hypocritical liars. So I'm assuming that, yeah, this bad way of living is the result of bad teaching.
It is the result of bad teaching.
Listening to it.
And so I want to just be very, very clear. Who are the some that we're talking about? Who is the some here? It says the Spirit clearly says in later times some will abandon. Who are those some?
They used to be disciples. Yeah.
They used to be disciples?
Yeah, like the weak spirited.
So are these members in the church?
Yeah, maybe. Probably not.
So random people that comes in the church that just preach random things, right? We would listen to?
No.
Why would we listen to them? Thank you, Jan. Yes. When I read this passage, I don't necessarily think about strangers. You know? I mean, these are members of the church. That's what Paul's trying to address. Like, hey, there's, you know, Timothy, you know, stop these false teachers, right? They're in the church. They have position. They have influence. They have friendships. They have connections. Hey, we need to stop this from happening, right? Fair enough. But these are not random people. Alright? These are not just random people. And the part that really gets me is the beginning of that first verse. It says, the Spirit clearly says that some will abandon the faith. So I think about that and it really is kind of sobering and I take it as a warning that even us here, some of us or someone in the future or even in the past, some will abandon the faith.
Yeah.
And that is a truth that we have to sit with. Right? So with that, the question then is, why? I mean, why are they abandoning the faith? Why would a disciple seemingly living their life, going to church, listening to some teaching, not knowing if it's false or not, abandon the faith? Yes, Janai?
Maybe because they had a weak conviction, and when they listened to these false teachers, they listened to what they wanted to hear.
Yeah, that is very possible. Yeah, an itching ear wants to hear what it wants to hear, right? Yeah, John?
It says these teachers have consciences that have been seared.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
In other words,
yeah.
They were around the church, but they had secret sins, and they, over time, they just were just being religious anymore,
mm-hmm.
being hypocrites.
Yeah.
And at some point, those sins just caused them to change their doctrine to support the way they were living.
Yeah.
And teach other people it's cool, it can be that way too.
Yeah. And I think that is a danger that we see today. Yeah, that is something that can happen 100%. And, but, you know, one of the words that I really notice here too is they follow what kind of spirits?
Deceivable.
How do you know it's deceiving? If it's deceiving? That's the point of deceiving, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, you don't know.
Sounds good.
You have no idea. That's the point. Is like, if something is deceiving, that means someone probably doesn't quite know the truth, right? And they're being deceived. They're being led in the direction that they probably thought was good.
Yep.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
Eve was deceived.
And you know, I'm so glad you brought that up. I was thinking of, should I go back to that? Because the Garden of Eden has a really good point about godliness, to be honest with you. But we'll get to that. Yes, Eve was deceived. So the idea... So the idea here is that these may not be strangers. Maybe a friend, maybe someone you confide in, and just they themselves are deceived. So how will we know? How will we know what's true and what's not? You already know the answer.
Matthew 7.
Yes, that's the point, is the fruit, right? We gotta look at the fruit. Please always look at the fruit, right? So don't just take it for what it is. See the fruit first. Yes.
And I think also we gotta have discernment.
Yeah.
Tell the difference.
That's part of discernment. But I wanna include something here. What were they teaching? It's in the next verse 3. Yeah, and what else?
Forbidding from marriage.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is that sin?
No.
No. That's not sin, right? No. Well, but what would you classify that as?
Jewish laws.
Sure. Yeah, you can say that.
Legalistic.
Personal beliefs or personal...
Thank you. Yes, personal convictions. Personal convictions. So here we have some false teachers, right? Label as false, seared conscience, right? Maybe somebody that you know, who have personal convictions about certain things, and they're preaching on it. They're teaching on it. And what's the thing about these, you know, when you see someone maybe who is a little bit more strict in their spiritual walk with God. How would you view that person?
I'd say they're very disciplined.
Yes.
I say, you know, oh, I'm going to swear a vow of chastity.
Yes.
Whatever,
yes.
And I'm only going to eat vegetables.
Yes.
I'm going to be a vegetarian.
Yes.
Like, wow, you're very disciplined.
Wow. And isn't that attractive?
Yeah.
Right? When you see, I feel that these additional restrictions, the additional, I guess you say, expressing their personal convictions as biblical teaching was the problem in this passage. Okay? And so that's the thing. It's not necessary. Godliness is not necessarily produced by following rules. Right? Because I can create all kinds of rules. Tell you all the different things that you should follow, not follow, do, not do. Right? Based on my personal convictions. And they might be great. But is that what leads to godliness? And so that's what we're going to really discover. It's like, what does lead to godliness? Because it's not rules. It's not obeying rules. It's not being even more stricter in your rules. Right? There's something else. So I wrote here, why can rules appear to be more, or stricter rules appear to be more spiritual? Yeah. You got all the answers, bro. Anybody?
There is a fruit there.
Yeah.
It involves denying self, which theoretically is actually a really good thing.
Sure.
Yeah. It makes you stand to the door, like people don't follow them. Makes you maybe seem like you're a little.
Well, I mean, it appears more spiritual, right? So why does it? Is what I'm saying. It does. I mean, it's visible, right? It's measurable. You can see somebody doing it. Right? It's controllable with rules. Hey, if you follow these rules, hey, you're doing well. Right? Here's the rule list. Yeah.
Well, I think like the Pharisees trying to get, you know, the disciples to wash their ceremonial
hands. Yes.
Is so that they can judge who's doing it and who's not.
Yes.
Whether they're really a Christian or not.
Yeah. Now you gotta be careful with that. Right? I mean, we talked about the spectrum on the right being all the things we know of sin and all the different, it's obvious, but this can be too far to the other side, right? In the Pharisee territory, all right, where we're focusing more on rule following, being visually being more spiritual, and this can totally lead to self-righteousness, right? And the thing is that can rules transform the heart? No, they can't. We know that. We know it didn't. I mean, let's look at Paul. Let's look at Paul's example. Okay, it's obvious. All right, so for that, let's see. 1 Timothy 1. Can somebody read to 1 Timothy 1? Let's go back. All right, let's go back. 1 Timothy 1, 13 and 14. Tim?
Was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus.
Yes. So what actually changed Paul's heart and mind?
Grace.
Love. Mercy. Right? That those are the things that actually make a difference. Okay? It's not the way we follow rules. It's not the way we help others follow rules. It's love, grace, mercy. And what's, remember, when we talked about in the beginning, what was the main word we were looking at when it came to Paul writing this letter? And it was when we went over sound doctrine. You guys remember that?
Love.
Love is the point. Right? And that's the thing. Love changes hearts, right? It's not the rules. Though, I mean, don't get me wrong. And the law, right? Rules, whatever, not necessarily comparing the two, but it can be good, right? It can be good if it's used properly. I mean, rules, you know, if it conforms to the gospel of Christ, it could be used, right? Paul is not against standards, right? In his letter, he cares deeply about behavior. How men prayed, how women worshiped, how leaders conducted themselves, how we treated one another. So behavior does matter. And the real issue is where does that behavior come from, right? That's the real issue, right? What's the source of your behavior? Is it rules or is it love, grace, mercy? I think that's very important because you can do the exact same thing. All right, so grace poured out along with faith, love in Christ Jesus, right? So again, what's the difference here between godliness and rule keeping? Can anybody share what that is? That might be. Anybody? Yeah.
The heart.
Yes. The heart position, the heart attitude is the biggest part here. Okay, so let's jump a little bit to Luke 18. I have this scripture right here for us to read, and I think once we read it, we'll can see the heart that we're talking about. Okay, who wants to read that? Aaron, go ahead. Luke 18:9-15.
He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extraordinaries, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.
Amen. Now, we can see that the Pharisee here is on both ends, right? We have, not on both ends, sorry. He is avoiding one end and completely in the other, right? He knows that, hey, I'm not a sinner. I don't do any obvious sins. And look at all the things that I'm doing, right? Look at all the things that I am doing. I'm not like that person, you know?
Literally the guy right here.
Yeah. Not like that person. So. Who said that? Well, that's tough. There's a thing there? Wow.
You
want
to
say, John?
No.
Wow. I can see that happening.
I am talking to John.
Yeah. But that's real, though. That's real. I mean,
thank goodness not like other people.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. So the heart here is the heart, the one who walked away justified is the one with the humble heart. Right. That's the key. That's the point of the heart. That's what's different between godliness and rule following is a humble heart. Okay. So we got to see that. And there's a fruit. There's fruit for that. Okay. And we can see it here. The fruit of submission, right? Of being humble, but allowing God to be God, right? Instead of, hey, look at me. Look what all the things I'm doing, right? Self-righteousness. So it's not legalism, not man-made restrictions. It's not works, right? Rules essentially works can modify behavior, but God transforms the heart. Okay. So here's the list. I know it's not good, but this is kind of the idea. All right. So rule keeping, we have works that lead to faith. Is that right?
No.
Does works lead to faith?
No.
Does behavior modification lead to transformation? Okay, so does rules lead to godliness? No. Okay, so here's godliness. Does faith lead to works?
Yes.
Oh, wow, right? So does a transformed heart lead to behavior? Yeah. And does godliness lead to love?
Yes.
Absolutely. So it's not the other way around. Okay, so that's why rules don't work. Okay, because it starts with the rules. And it should start with our faith. Okay. All right, so let's move on. Let's go to how godliness is produced. Can I get somebody to go back to 1 Timothy? Let's go to verse 4, 6 through 10.
Got it.
Go ahead, Zane.
6 through 10. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe.
Amen. Thank you. All right, so let's just get right to it. So the key, I mean, I've been looking forward to this as a trainer. I mean, you gotta admit, you know, I'm excited to be here to talk about train yourself for godliness. Oh yeah. I have a lot of experience in training generally, but we're going to get into it. So why doesn't Paul say, hey, try harder for godliness? Okay. Well, let's say, can you try to run a marathon?
Yeah.
You can.
You try to run a marathon. You might not succeed, but you could try.
You could, okay. Go ahead.
You either run it or you don't.
You either run or you don't.
I think, what Oscar's saying is like, can you brute force yourself into being more godly? No.
No.
But what I understand is training is not like a one and done thing. Like, it's not, okay, godly now, day one, boom, I'm godly. No, it takes time. Repeated effort over time.
So let me ask you a question. When you try to run a marathon, what does that look like?
Can you explain what you mean
by that? Yeah, well, you tell me what you think it is. When you, I'm
so
trying to
sign up,
yeah.
Start running.
And you start running, right? You start jump in and you start going. Yeah? So if you train for a marathon, what does that look like?
You're running all day,
several
every day.
Months. Plan.
Yes.
A coach.
Why? I mean, there's a difference between trying and training, isn't there? Okay, we shouldn't try to do something because we're just gonna do whatever we can, whether we fail or not, who cares? We tried, right? But when we train for something, what's in the training? Yeah, it's in the very beginning lesson. Intention. There's thoughtfulness. There's planning, coordination, thinking. Hey, how many miles am I going to get in this week? My race is coming up in 6 months. Let me plan out a schedule, a nutrition plan. Yeah. Let me go out there and work on my runs, find the right shoes. Man, training is so much. Yeah, training is so much different than trying. Yeah.
It's like when I ask people, what are you doing for your quiet times? I just read the scripture of the day.
Yeah. That, to me, is not training.
That is not training. You've got to have a plan.
That is not training. You might be trying, but that's not what Paul's saying. I'm not saying that it's bad to try. Go ahead and try. But that's not what Paul's saying. Paul's saying to train yourself to godliness. Okay? So now that we understand a little bit more training, okay, does somebody, you know, I forgot about this one. Yeah. So why does Paul compare physical training with godliness?
Because they're similar.
Yeah. They are similar. Yeah.
Yeah, when you go to a gym, you know, I see, you know, when I used to go to the gym, I'd see people, the first time they go, they're like, oh, let's see how much I can lift at once, right? That's kind of like the trunk.
Yeah.
But you can't sustain that.
No.
You know, your body isn't ready for it. Your muscles aren't ready for it. You, your own, like, kind of like mental capacity, your power, you're not ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you're a baby Christian, there's a... You're only going to be so godly. I mean, we're speaking realistically. Right?
Yeah, you need training.
Yeah, no wonder you're still...
You need training, man.
Or lust or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you haven't trained yourself.
Yeah, need training.
It takes time and, as I said, repeated effort to get to the point where you want to be.
When anybody did sports here, what do you do for training with the team? Practice.
We practice.
You practice.
Yeah.
Right? We training is practice. Physical training requires practice. You know, and to John's point last night, right? What do we put into practice? Do you guys remember?
Our faith.
Jesus' words. Yeah. Right? Remember that? That was the whole thing that you had mentioned yesterday about Jesus' words. So God's qualities, that here are God's qualities we can put into practice. We put all these things. Patience, gentleness, faithfulness, submission, obedience, being loving, having healthy relationships, and Jesus' words. We can put all these things into practice. Yeah.
Thank
had something else to add on. I talked about sin at first, but I think also even like, I hear this from a lot of new Christians, like, oh, well, I don't know how to share my faith, or I don't even know the Bible, where it's like, well, we got to train.
You got to train.
You can't lift that weight, you know, you don't know those scriptures because you got to train for it.
There, if you're a new Christian, you already know a lot of scriptures because before you were baptized, you went through it.
You went through a lot. Yeah, we trained you. We trained you. Discipling. It was training. So the point is that godliness requires practice, right? Godliness. And it impacts every area of our life, right? We have relationships, our decision making, marriages, parenting, our worship, right? I mean, you know, we have Thursday night fellowship, worship night, but we also have practice, right, for worship. Leadership, right? You practice how to encourage people, teach people, lead people, right? Lead Bible studies, discipleship, you know, read books, put those into practice, help people in different areas. And it leads into our eternity, right? Godliness definitely impacts our eternity. Physical training is of value, right? All the physical training. I mean, I know we think about gym, but, you know, everything that's physical, going to school, gym training, learning skills, finance, you know, how to manage money. All those things are beneficial and they're valuable. But godliness is the most. It's invaluable. Okay, now one thing I do want to mention here that's not quite in the scripture, but I do want to just to add in there. I know we're thinking about godliness, but, you know, godliness can only exist with the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit must lead the way. And so I just wanted to kind of throw this out there. It's not quite in this scripture, but in Galatians 5:22-23, we don't have to go there. It's all the fruits of the Spirit, right? And there's no rules for those. There are no rules for the fruits of the Spirit. So rules cannot transform the heart. Only God can. And prayerfully, I want you all prayerfully ask God to transform you, to help you, to train you, to produce fruit in you, right? To change your heart, guide you. To make you or help you be more generous, have more self-control, help you with your purity, make you more like Christ. I know sometimes we think, okay, we should do it, but really, man, we gotta rely on the Holy Spirit, and rely on God, just like that for a person we read in Luke, right, who was found righteous, right, who was justified because he was reliant, submissive to God. Okay. So let's go and continue. Let's finish out 1 Timothy 4. Let's go 11 through 15. Anybody? Almost there. Sure, go ahead. 11 through 14, yeah. Oh, it says 15 there? Yeah, 11 through 15. No. We're going to save 16.
We're saving it.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Mike, if you want
to. Okay. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress.
Pause. So here we go. Godliness on display. Yes. Okay. The key thing that I was going to ask, but we're kind of short on time, is the key here is to set an example.
Amen. Right?
Set an example. Okay. Now, the big thing with setting an example, there are five areas. Did you guys catch that, right?
Yes.
All right. Who wants to name them? Yep.
Conduct.
Yep.
Love.
Yep.
Faith.
Yep.
Purity.
Yep. Yes. So those are some of the areas that God wants, to set an example in. And, let me ask you, let me backtrack for a second. What's the difference between, the question I had is why doesn't Paul tell Timothy to just be godly? Instead, he says to set an example. What's the difference between him saying, hey, instead of him saying, be godly, he says, set an example. What's the difference between the two? Can you guys get that question? I'm sorry if it's a little confusing.
Well, he's a leader, so.
Yeah.
It's going to be on display no matter what.
So yeah.
Looking at you.
There is a difference between both those things. So being godly affects you, but being an example affects others. Okay, so when you're practicing on your godly, I know we're thinking about our own righteousness, our own relationship with God, our own walk, right? But here's Paul saying, hey, set an example, right? Take that godliness and put it on display so that everyone can see, right? So it's never meant to stay private. It will become visible, right? Our godliness or lack thereof, and it is part of our worship to God. So what areas do we talk about here? Here's the, which one of these five is hardest for you right now? Any takers? Anybody want to share? Yeah?
Speech, I say stupid things all the time. Seriously.
Okay.
Speech is for me too, because yeah. I always get like my words mixed up all the time. Like, you know how I got Lord's Supper.
Oh, yeah.
Last Supper.
Like I got the Last Supper.
Yeah. So yeah. Definitely with me. I got
it. Was the Last Supper, though?
Yeah, it was. Well, let's save this question for now, but think about these things and consider them in your own walk with God and which areas you can pray and work on and train in, right? Okay, so now in here, it talks about not neglecting your gift, right? That's what Timothy said. Paul tells Timothy not to neglect his gift. Why is that? Yep, go ahead.
I mean, Jesus had a whole parable about neglecting gifts. The gold.
Yeah.
Where we are expected to give a return to God with our talents, our faculties. And of course, he as a leader, even more so. It's like he's essentially saying, like, dude, you've been appointed.
Yeah.
Like, literally, the elders place their hands on
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
They send you here to do
yeah.
this.
Don't neglect it.
You better do it.
Yeah. I know we often think about working on our weaknesses, but man, God gives them some strengths, no?
Yes.
Let's not neglect those. Right? I know we're praying to be more godly and we're asking God to work on our weaknesses, which is good, but man, we have some strength. You all have gifts and strengths. Do not neglect them, okay? Use them, okay? Train them, right? Gifts grow when they're used. Strengths grow when it's trained, right?
Yes.
Strength training, push-ups. Skills grow when they are practiced, right? Godliness grows when it's exercised, right? Okay? All right, let me speed it up a little bit. Okay, so I was going to write character before competency, but sound living is intentional progress towards Christ. All right, let's get to the last one and we'll be done here. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:16, a ICLC classic. Okay, anybody? Jaime, go ahead.
Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is not a super theological, but I was just curious, you know, maybe just a fun question, but why do you think Paul puts life before doctrine? He says, watch your life and doctrine. So he says, watch your life first. Why might Paul put life before doctrine? Yeah.
Because if you're not able to take the plank out of your own eye, how are you supposed to help other people with their specs, I think?
Yeah.
Life is more personal. Doctrine is more outward.
Yeah. Well, I think the other way around. No, doctrine is more personal. Life is more outward.
I don't know. Life is like how you live your life.
How you live your life. Yeah, people can see that.
Well, people can see that, sure. But like how you live your life, like even if people are not seeing your life.
Yeah, privately. Yeah, amen.
Yeah, life supports doctrine. Doctrine does not support life.
Yes. Yeah. Doctrine does not. You can know the doctrine and not have the life. Yeah, not necessary to do it. But here's the thing. Life is where the fruit is.
Yeah.
And that's what people see.
So life is where the fruit is.
They don't know what your principles are.
Sound doctrine. Yeah. Remember, sound doctrine, the fruit of sound doctrine, right, is seen in the life. Right? So pay attention, right? Examine yourselves. Stay alert. Keep growing. Keep training. Keep following Christ. Okay, so let me go ahead and close it out here. I don't think we have time for discussion questions. So here's, if you guys want to take a photo, oh, we do?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So here's maybe take a couple minutes if you want to talk, chat with a partner next to you. What's one spiritual habit you can be more intentional about to grow in your godliness? Sorry, should have been a question mark. So think about a spiritual habit, you know, having a, maybe a prayer life, you know, having, you know, quiet times, having, serving. I mean, there's a lot of different things that, you know, habits you can have, going out for walks, prayer walks even. What spiritual gifts has God given you that you can train, right? Alright, these are like one of your strengths. How can you train your gift this week? What area in verse 12, right? That's what we talked about. Do you need to grow the most in right now? How can you train in that area? Sound good? Sound good? I say sound good because that's, my mom says it that way. She has a very strong accent, so it just comes out. Sound good?
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah, she doesn't end it with a D, so I just say it like she says it. Sound good?
G-O-O-G-O.
Yeah. Yeah, sound good? Okay, so let's take a few minutes, maybe chat with a partner, just, you know, pick a question. You don't have to go through all three. It's only going to be, how long? 5 minutes? I mean, 2:30 right now. 8:30, sorry.
You're the leader tonight.
Yep. Okay.
Are we doing groups?
Yeah, you and a partner next to you. Not groups.
We're used to doing groups, but,
okay. John, you want to come over here? Thanks, John. Yeah. It should be appropriate for us to have a discipleship relationship too, so there you go. So what's one spiritual habit you could be more intentional? Honestly, man, prayer. I think about it all the time. And I pray, but it's not like a habit. I think I have to, like, you know, when I wake up, I have to remind myself to pray. I have to remind myself to, you know, pray before I eat, you know, or it's almost like it's a reminder instead of like a habit, you know? So I feel like prayer to me, is probably one area that I might need more intentional in.
Think before I talk, think before I act.
Yeah.
Okay. More patience.
Yeah. And how so what's the habit though? I mean, I guess what spiritual habit you can be more intentional about to grow in your godliness? So to me, to have like
self-control in what I say, the tongue.
So is there a habit there though?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're thinking.
Yeah, I guess the habit would be something you would do, like a practice.
Right. I had a whole course on that in the Gnostics.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So what's one that you would recommend?
Stopping,
meditating. Yeah, that's a good one. Do you meditate?
Sometimes.
How often?
Never good at it.
So there you go. You can meditate. That's a practice. That's a habit you can create to help you with your patience. What spiritual gifts have God given you that you can train? How can you train your gifts this week? So this is a strength. I mean, you have a lot of strengths you've been training on right now. But is there anything you feel like you need training in? Yeah.
Relating to people more, being more out of myself, being more affectionate.
Mm.
That's what I do.
Amen. Yeah. Do you feel like Yeah, you know that.
It
is not, yeah. You know it's funny? You know it's funny, I grew up with my mom and she was not affectionate, but I never noticed. Like, she wasn't like, yeah, but I never really thought about it. And it wasn't until I was much older, like 33, 34, and I visited my brothers, my stepbrother, or my brothers from my dad's side, who I was trying to like start a relationship with, you know, get to know them, and they were so affectionate. They were just like, brother, we don't. I'm like, and I went home, I'm like, Mom, you love me. I know you love me, but you've never shown me affection. And she was like, huh? What is that? She was never shown affection, you know? And so to her, it was like, what is affection? You know, you didn't need it. I didn't need it. So.
My dad is very German.
Yeah.
In that way.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I went to church in Boulder, and you know, just thought this is pretty cool. These people really care about each other; they're really fired up. But the whole gay thing is, I don't know why. Is that really Christian? Yeah. I remember I went to Latvia, and that's a very non-affectionate country.
This is good. This fits right. I see. I purposely try to hug you on purpose because I already.
Rude person.
I purposely try to hug you. I already know that about you, John. I want one when I say hi to you. That's about it. All right. So which area? Oh, for me. Yeah. I do have a gift of. Like teaching, I guess not in the sense of like a teacher, like school, but in the sense of like communication, helping people get from point A to point B. I've been doing that a lot as a coach, and so to apply that into discipleship and this is really the training ground for me, and I'm really excited to do it. So here. Which area? Verse 12. Do I need help? So I think for me, I think it's kind of a, let's just say love for others has always been something that I desire. Love for others. I've always desired that and I've always had that, but I've always felt there was obstacles to doing that. You know, from time, schedule, just work, essentially. And so being here, I feel like a lot of that is...
be able to do a lot more.
Yeah. So I'm actually really excited about engaging more in the love for others category. The other thing, though, I think I can work on a little bit more is probably speech in the sense of, like, teaching lessons, but then also... and just in my gentleness of speech, and how I convey, you know, my heart, and not be so aggressive, especially when I'm triggered. Yeah. So I think the speech part would probably be an area.
Sure. Speech, intimidating people, making people feel like they're being disrespected. Have you ever been to that?
Really? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool that you are aware of all those things, though. Yeah. Yeah. Amen, bro. 90 seconds, everybody. 90 seconds. Yeah. So I think, that's interesting. So how would you, is this just years of being a disciple that you've had many conversations with people that you're aware of your weaknesses and strengths, or yeah. So where? Yeah. Okay.
47 and a half years as a Christian.
Yeah. I'm jealous, man.
As of 48 years ago.
Oh, really? When was your spiritual birthday, bro?
No, I said 47 and a half years.
Oh.
So that December.
December when?
December 13th. Jen and I had the same spiritual birthday.
Oh, yeah. You know, mine's December 3rd.
Nice.
Yeah. December 3rd. Wow. Okay.
It's the same spiritual birthday except 3 years apart.
Okay. Okay. You first, right? You first?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right, everybody, let's come back. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. Okay. All right. All right, fam. Let's bring it back. Do we need to do the clap? The clap. Clap once so you can hear me. Clap twice. It just works every time. Okay, so let's close it up here. So sound living is not accidental, right? Sound living is intentional. Godliness is not rule following, right? But godliness is pursued. It's practiced. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Stay humble, right? And it's displayed in a life that increasingly reflects Jesus Christ. And this is important because this is also sound worship. I mean, really, you know, love for God and reflecting that love to others. That's essentially what one of the big things for godliness. So they all kind of work together, you know? But wait, there's more. So obviously we're not completely done with 1 Timothy. So there's actually another theme. Oh, wow. There's another theme. I know. And you know what? As I was going through it, I was like, Eureka, another theme. What are we going to do? Epiphany. All right. You guys ready? So we have these four. You guys ready for the last one? Any guesses? It kind of all intertwines, but sound relationships.
Oh yeah, that's first chapter 5. Yeah.
Yeah. Sound relationship. He's like, yep, that makes sense. Eureka! That's what I thought.
Older women, younger
women. Yeah, yeah. All the relational stuff. Yeah. And then we'll close out because the last parts are kind of all intertwined, so we'll close it out next week. Alright, that's it for today. Let's go ahead into some announcements. We have Friday, Friday, 7 p.m. movie night at my house, Rodriguez's. By the way, my wife, is not here today if you're curious. She promised her students, she's an after school program director before she came up here. So she had all these students, you know, she was with them for like a long time. Anyway, a lot of them are graduating tomorrow and she promised them, they're like, teacher, come back. And they're like, okay, we'll be here, we'll be there for graduation. So she went down for the graduation to be there and she bought them all like Lay's and all this thing. So she's really excited to be there. So yeah, so, Sunday service, right? Buena Vista. Father's Day Love Feast. We have a flyer. Did y'all see the flyer?
Yeah.
I'll get it to you, bro. Y'all, okay. Share the flyer. Sign up. Invite your dads. Invite your pops. Okay. Invite your stepdads too. Okay. Monday, Atwater Bible Talk. Tuesday, Bible Talk here. And special missions giving coming up. Okay. Remember, pray to God for your generosity. You know, let the Lord stir your heart. Okay. And then, ICMC Milwaukee, please sign up now. If you're interested in going, sign up. Okay. Alright, do we have time to sing?
It's always time to sing.
Okay. I'm the leader!
Woohoo!
Let's go! Let's do it. Hey, I wanna go see Columbia, but I also wanna sing. Let's sing.
There you go.
Okay. Oh, you are recording? Okay. Alright. In every song, to get every sing.